If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with you to the book of Revelation, chapter 4. The Bible tells the book of Revelation, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your word. And we ask, God, you would touch this house with the power of your anointing. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise? Amen. I do appreciate Brother Jody and his wife coming by and be with us. I talked to him the other day, and some of y'all may have noticed his wife and son came to the egg drop. And he was telling me now when his son's playing with his helicopter, his airplane, he's dropping eggs out of them. So we've made an impression on somebody. Amen. Glory. Amen. But we do appreciate them coming by. And, let's be praying that God will have his way in this deal. Amen. I like what the gentleman said at prayer breakfast a couple of years ago for the national. He said, the problem with Congress in the United States, we got too many lawyers. Lawyers don't want to lose, so therefore they don't want to compromise, so therefore they can't get anything done. He said, you put in regular people, doctors and regular folks, and just let them get in there. They're looking for solutions, and they find a way to get things done. Amen. And so I think that's the problem with most of our legislatures. We got folks who say, we're not going to lose, and so there is no compromise, and because there is no compromise, nothing ever gets done. And I wish we'd get some folks in that would really go after getting things done. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I like when they have a session, they get something done, then they'll have to extend the session. We pay them extra money. And glory. Amen. Just like this morning, I may not get the sermon done, so we have to extend the session. Glory. It won't cost you nothing else. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject the Lord put on my heart. It is time to move. Amen. The Bible tells me in the book of Revelation that he looked, and behold, the door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was one of a trumpet, which is God's voice. We understand that to be. He said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. I believe that many today are hearing the call of the Spirit of the high place of God, and God is always calling us to a higher place. I believe it's time the church moves up. Amen. Praise God. I know we've talked about this and we've seen it, but church, there must be constant movement. I don't know if you understand it or not, but if something's alive, there's going to be movement in it. You know, I remember going down to New York and I'd walk through the streets and you'd see them walk over every once in a while. Most of the people on the street, they didn't bother. Those street people, they slept there. Nobody bothered them unless they were in the doorway. They'd wake them up to get in their business. But most of the time, it wouldn't bother. But every once in a while, you'd see a cop come down there and he'd kick them, see if they was alive. They didn't move, they'd throw them in a wagon and take them off. And that was just to see if they were alive, because anybody that's alive eventually will have movement. And I believe the church has to have movement if it's going to stay alive. We cannot get to a place where we become comfortable with what's around us and we don't want to move. Could you say amen? Exodus chapter 40, verse 36. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not on the day that it was taken up. And the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and a fire on it was night, and the sight of the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. So God put it in their heart. If I take the cloud away, it's time for you to move. As long as the fire's there and as long as the cloud's there, stay where you are. But if I lift it up, it's time to move on. In the book of Numbers, it goes a little deeper. And at the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed. And at the commandment of the Lord, they pitched. As long as the cloud abode on the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord, and they journeyed on not. And so it was that when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. So it was that the cloud abode from the evening unto the morning, and the cloud that was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed, whether it was day or by night, that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? God was teaching the children of Israel how to get from prophecy to promise. He was teaching them how to go from dream to reality, how to go from faith to sight. And we today need to understand that God has provision for us. And before we can ever get somewhere else, we got to move from where we are. Could you say amen? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's very easy to become settled. It's very easy to get to that place where we don't want to move and we don't want things to change. But there has to be change if there's something going to happen in our lives. Let's face it, church. I was in a philosophy class one time. And y'all might believe it, but I actually went to school in my life. Amen. And I had a professor ask the question, give me one word that represent time. Well, you got all the normal things, watch, clock. I mean, those represent time. We look at a watch or a clock to find out what time was. And we gave him all kind of answers. And finally, he turns around and he just wrote, change. Because the one word that represents time is change. Because no matter how long you live, you're going to change. And the way you know time took place, you see change. We see the sun come up, we know another day started. When it goes down, we know it's over. Amen. We are able to keep up with change because we understand change is what makes things take place. Y'all may not believe this, but I understand that I'm not a young man anymore. I've not been asked to preach a youth service in a long time. Glory. I remember years ago, I got called to do a youth service at Rainbow Church of God. I was Rainbow City. I was 40-something years old. They invited me to do the youth service. And I thought, this is weird. I hadn't done a youth service in a long time. And I went to do that youth service and got there and realized the pastor was 71, the associate pastor was 73, so I was youth. Glory. Amen. But the reality is there has to be some time when we make up our mind, I've been here long enough, I've got to move. One of the most important lessons is taught is that we cannot get comfortable. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? You ever notice how people can get comfortable? Amen. God would intentionally vary the time that he would stay in a place to teach them that no matter how comfortable or convenient a place it was, it's not the promises of God. And church, sometimes God tells us to move when we're perfectly happy where we are. And sometimes we need to move on from where we are so that God can do things to us because he don't want us to get too comfortable. Amen. And your church, you need to realize no matter how bad things can get around you, you can become acquainted with them and comfortable. You can be in a place that's not a good place to be, but you can become comfortable in that place. And once you become comfortable, it becomes the normal, and we despise change. I read in the book of Kings, and I preach this to you, where Elijah came back to the place, and the men of Jericho said, oh, this is a pleasant place, but the water is no good, and we don't have any kind of harvest. And can I tell you, we got churches that are comfortable just like they are. It's a pleasant place. They come to church on Sunday morning. They hear the choir sing a song. The preacher preaches a sermon, and they go home, and it's pleasant, but the water's not good, and there is no harvest, and they're happy with what's going on. I got news for you, church. We need to move. If the water's not good, we need to find some good water, and we need a harvest field where we can bring in a harvest. That is what we're here for, is to bring in souls for the kingdom of God. Could you say, oh, come on. One of the greatest battles we fight is to being familiar with things. We don't like change. We like everything to be just so. Hello? Say, well, preacher, why would we want to change? Why would we want things to be different? Because something I learned a long time ago, you don't get any different from what you got unless you do something different to get somewhere else. If you keep doing the same thing, you get the same results. I don't know why, but we got people actually believe they just keep doing the same stuff and it's going to somehow make something different happen. Come on, church. You keep boiling water and putting eggs in it, all you're going to get is boiled eggs. You crack them, drop them in the frying pan, you get fried eggs. You scramble them, you got scrambled eggs. But every time you had to do something different. And we want to sit here till the sun goes down and do nothing. We can. God is not going to make us move. But if we want to move and fulfill the prophecies that have been given to this church since the day I showed up, and God's saying there's going to be growth and God's going to do something, that we got to make up our mind. We can't keep doing what we've always done. There's got to be movement spiritually among us. We've got to begin to pay a bigger price. There's got to be more prayer, more fasting, more seeking the face of God than we've ever done before. And if we do that, then God is going to begin to move. And I believe with all my heart, the greatest harvest this church has ever known is right in front of you. Could you say amen? Listen, our brother said something a while ago, it's very important. This church is not before 42, 3 years old. It is now in the place that it ought to be taking advantage of its promise. Hello? I remember camp meeting. Brother Martin Taylor, that pastors the Summit of the Church of God, was the night speaker. And on the morning, there was a young man from Chattanooga, Tennessee, by the name of Ron Phillips, came down to preach. We were having church. Ron Phillips preached a sermon that morning, and you know what he said? He said, I didn't come to tell you about Pentecost. Y'all know about Pentecost. He said, God sent me to remind y'all what y'all forgot about it, and I'm just finding out. Glory. And you know, the sad part about it is we forgot a lot about Pentecost because we don't see it like it used to be. You know why? Because we're not willing to pay the price to have a real move of God. We just like a little emotion every once in a while so we can feel good and get a shout on. And the truth of the matter is we need a burning move of the Spirit of God where hypocrites will feel like hypocrites and conviction will fall and our loved ones will get saved and delivered from the very things that's holding them down. And you say, preacher, what are you talking about? It's more than just a fast song or a funny get up. It's about a move of God that drenches us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And it's not going to happen until we make up our mind. I'm not happy where I am now. I want more of God than I've ever had before. Brother Ron Phillips, he got through preaching, was praying for folks. And Church of God folks sometimes don't know how to get prayed for. They all run up there thinking the guy's never going to get to him, and they try to bunch up on him and about run him crazy. He was walking back and forth, and he had an armor bearer that would actually step between him and other people so they couldn't push in on him. He prayed for about 200-300 folks, and he literally just went out. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Ron Phillips or not, but he's about 6'4", and weighs about 350. And I just happened to be beside him when he went down, and he caught his arm around my neck and just, and I'm holding with all I got, and his buddy slipped up under the other side, and he said, where can we take him? I said, it doesn't matter to me. I've got him. Let's go. We took off out of the building, headed to the back. Had to get him to unlock the door, and while we're standing there, he looked down at me, and he said, the anointing is running off of me on you, boy. Who are you? I said, I'm Ken Stroop. He said, I've met you before. I said, Cleveland, Tennessee. You prayed for me when I was an evangelist there at an evangelist retreat. He said, that's right. He said, come on with me. And I said, well, I guess I got to. You can't walk without me. Glory. We get him in the back, and we set him down. He got my card, and he said, I'm going to be praying for you. He said, now hear what God told me to tell you. There's going to be a door in front of you that's going to open. It's in your future. But a harvest you never dreamed of is going to be in front of you. He said, now, before this day's over, someone else will tell you exactly what I just said. Went to church that night. We were down praying for people. I turned around and somebody tapped me on the shoulder and said, Brother Taylor wants you on the stage. I walk up to him and he said, this is strange, Drew. He said, but the Lord showed me you standing down there with a door in front of you that was closed and it opened. And there was a harvest field in front of you you had never dreamed of. And I looked at him and I said, my Lord. A few weeks later, I'm in Keene, Tennessee, and the lady that's preaching at the General Assembly, Sister Jocelyn Barnett, called me up and prayed for me. And I got up off the floor. Some of y'all won't know what that means. But I got up off the floor, and she comes back in front of me, and she says, I see suitcases on both sides of you. And Freddie Edwards was standing there, and he said, that's all he does is travel, lady. Glory. She looked back, she said, yeah, but those suitcases are going to quit being there. This was 5 years before I went through the gate that put me pastor of this church. But I believe God has begun to stir in me that it's time for this church to go through that same gate. There is a harvest field waiting for us, and it's time we decided we want the harvest, and we want it bad enough we're willing to pay the price. Could you say amen? Listen, you say, preacher, you really think it's going to be that weird? Yes, I do. Listen, church, moving in itself is interesting, isn't it, Jim? If you've ever moved, especially if you've been somewhere a while, it's a strange situation. Everything gets to be chaotic. Everything's moved out of its place. All the familiar routines are replaced by that that seems to be confusion and disorder. Nothing is convenient. Everything you want seems to be the hardest thing to find. Hello? Some of y'all act like you ain't never moved. Maybe you need to. Another thing is, when you start to move, you begin to realize all the things you've accumulated over the years. A lot of it, just junk. A lot of it, stuff that's outdated and unnecessary. Say, preach, what are you talking about? We got folks in this church that's hanging on to yesterday, last week, 6 months ago, and all their relationship with God's tied up to something that happened to them when somebody laid hands on them, and they've not done anything else with it. You say, what are you getting at? Their relationship with God's outdated. They're living in the past because they have no present, and because they have no present, they'll never have a future. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? When Elijah walked by Elijah and he dropped his mantle on his shoulder, the first thing he said was, I've got to get rid of yesterday. And he took all those ox that he was plowing with, which represented the fact that he was very rich, and he offered them up as a sacrifice. You say, what are you talking about? He realized that if I'm going to have a tomorrow, I've got to get rid of yesterday. I can't live in what happened to me when somebody laid hands on me at a camp meeting, but I've got to get a hold of God for me right now, and I've got to find the move of God for me right now. And this church has got to quit living in the past and realize there's only one way, and that is into his presence, into his power, into his glory, for what God wants to do right now. It's a time of shifting. It's a time to lighten the load. Let me tell you something, church. When the children of Israel decide to make the move into the promised land, the first place they stopped is Gilgal. And the first thing they done at Gilgal was get back in line with the covenant with God. It was at Gilgal that all the young men born in the wilderness who had not been circumcised were circumcised. Everybody rededicated themselves to the covenant with God. Everybody got on their part to get to the covenant where God wanted to be. Can I tell you one of the problems we have in the church world? We've got folks that's never been to their own personal Gilgal. They've never got on their knees and said, God, what is in my life that I need to get out of the way so I can move to the promises you've got for me? What is it in my life that I need to get out of the way so I can see the fullness of your presence in my life? What if I, as an individual, because until we as individuals get in covenant with God, this church as a body will never be in covenant with God. But if we can get a hold of God and say, God, help us get rid of that we don't need, and got lined up with a covenant, I've got a God that said, now enter you in to the promises I've prepared for you, and I will give it to you. Could you... There'll be some things you got to leave behind if you're going to move. We got to move, and I didn't move much furniture. Frida gave most of it away before I got down there. I mean, I'd done it all alone, but it blew my mind when I caught her doing it. I mean, she come home one night and the living room furniture was gone. She called me. She said, somebody had broken the house and stole the living room furniture. I said, no, this preacher didn't have any, and I give it to him. Well, I didn't ask her because she'd have told me no. At least this way I got rid of it. Now she can't say nothing. It's gone. I went by the church and got folded chairs, carried them home. I put three of them over there and two of them over here. I had one over here with one in front of it. She said, what's that? I said, that's a couch. That's a love seat. And there's that recliner you always wanted. Glory. She was not amused. a few weeks later, I'd remodeled the living room and the hall, put down new carpet, and bought brand new furniture and paid for it with offerings that had been handed me over what I received from the churches because I had trusted God. And so we got ready to move. She decided she wanted blessed, so she gave away a freezer we could have used. So we had to do what? Buy a new freezer. Amen. She gave away furniture. What she don't know is I made about two trips down there with that truck, and on the third trip, I had Brad's granddad over with his trailer, and I said, when I come back, I want that building empty. Take everything you want, because I don't even want to go through it, see what's there. Just take it, so I won't worry about whether or not I want to get rid of it. Amen. Because I didn't want to make 14 trips to build, haul stuff up here we were never going to use. Hello? Some of you have been dragging around spiritual stuff you've never used, and you wonder why God's not doing anything. Come on, church. Listen, Hebrews 11 and 8, and I'm going to hurry. I just passed 12. It's quarter till. By faith, Abraham, when he's called to go out into a place which he should after receive as an inheritance, obeyed him, went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as a stranger in a country dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. Why did he do that? Because he was looking for a city whose foundations, the builder and the maker thereof is God. Church, I'm not asking you to do something that's not in this Bible. Sometimes you got to take a step on something you ain't got a clue what it is. Amen. Listen. Isaiah 42:16, and I will bring the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten image, ye are my God. Hear ye deaf and look ye blind that ye may see. Who is blind but my servant? Or deaf is my messenger that I send? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but thou hearest not? Is anybody wanting to move? Does anybody want to get closer to God? I want to share something with you here real quick. Like the African Impala is capable of jumping 10 feet straight up in the air. When running at full stride, they can cover over 30 feet in each stride. They're one of the fastest animals alive. They can put them in a fence 3 foot high and keep them the rest of their life because an impala will not jump unless it can see where it's going to land. And as long as he can't see through that fence, he will not jump that fence for fear of what's on the other side. Do you know what's wrong with the church world? Satan has fenced us in. And because we can't see where we're going to hit, we're afraid to move in God and take a chance. But can I tell you that if God said jump, all you need to do is jump. He guarantees you there's nothing on the other side that will keep you where you are. We have been bottled up and bottled down long enough. And I think it's time we took hold of the word of God that said, I'm going to build a church. And upon this rock, I'll build that church. And the gates of hell will not withstand it. And it's time we kicked in the gates that have kept us from the promises of God. It's time we kicked in the gates that have kept our loved ones locked away from the presence of God. It is time we kicked in the gates that have kept God from moving like he wants to in the house of the Lord and say, God, from now on, we want your presence, your power, your glory like never before. Stand with me all over the house. The next level that God's calling us to, you're going to take a faith step into the unknown. But if we're willing to take that step, I got a God that will carry you. Church, I believe with all my heart that God is pushing this church to move. And I believe it's time we take hold of what God wants us to do and move in his presence, move in his power. But for that to happen, we've got to have some spiritual Gilgals. Well, we search ourselves and clear things out of our lives so that God can take us where he wants us to go. I think we've lived long enough on just getting by. I don't know about you, but I saw people this week hungry for God. And those that were hungry, God was filling them. And I got hungry myself and said, I want more of this than I've ever had. I want to see God move. Church, I've seen some moves of God that was awesome. But I still believe something God put in my heart a few weeks ago to preach to us here at this church. We've not seen anything yet. Oh, I know there's going to be a great falling away, but you better read your Bible. The Bible also said in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And upon thine handmaid and thy servant will I pour out the spirit of prayer and supplication. While there's a falling away, the church ought to be moving in a power of God that it's never seen before. And we need to get ready saying, God, I want that to happen. I want it in me. I want it in my life. I want it in my family. And church, there doesn't have to be a falling away among those who are hungry for the power and the grace of Almighty God. Father, we thank you today for your love, for your mercy. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand, every heart, every life, every soul. Lord, have your way in Jesus' name.